Welcome to the Consummate Athlete Podcast, where we explore what it means to be a well-rounded, happy, goal-crushing athlete. Every week, myself, sports journalist Molly Herford, and cycling coach and kinesiologist Peter Glassford interview experts and chat through all of your training questions. We're excited to have you along for the ride.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Consummate Athlete Podcast. Peter, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm fending off the spring blahs. How about yourself?
You know what? I'm going to say runners don't have this problem quite as much as cyclists, maybe, just because our temperature thresholds are and like weather tolerance.
The range
is definitely a little bit wider. But you know what? Still definitely navigating them. I remember Saturday morning, we both headed out, fully kitted out, got out the door. We're taking the dogs out for one last pee before we did our long workouts. We suddenly just started pelting snow at us. And it was definitely one of those, you know what? Let's just drive south until this stops.
So we almost drove to New Jersey, but we didn't. I got on the indoor trainer instead, and you went about your run maybe with an extra coat or something.
To be honest, I think had we not been dog sitting this week, it might have been more of a consideration.
Sure.
But we did not want to dog nap any dog across like international borders.
Sure.
So here we are, still in Ontario, dealing with some of the spring blahs.
And we wanted this to be an uplifting episode. Sometimes I worry that we do like depressing things too much and Molly gets mad at me. But this is we try and, you know, base this on experiences we have. And then also, you know, when there's themes with clients or different consults I have, or even just stuff we see, you know, in social media or podcast listeners when they submit questions. And there's definitely this, you know, in the spring, this is a recurring theme, not special to this year. But you'll get this. I was doing really well. I went on my spring training camp maybe, or I just got a weekend where it was super sunny and I got 4 hours in. And then the next week you're back on the trainer or you're sick or you're busy because it's tax season and you're an accountant.
You're depressed because it's tax season.
Or you're like me and you're trying to find a couple thousand dollars. You don't know where it went.
Speaking of which, book a consult.
It'll be okay.
consummateathlete.com/book-a-call.
So it's normal. And so that I think is our first defense is that in the spring, in training in general, but especially in these like shoulder seasons where the weather is coming and going, this would be, you know, we have a cyclocross burnout episode in post as well, which is identical, just reversed. It's just normal. So that's part of this as well, is that, you know, you're going to come into this and we try and armor ourselves, which we'll talk about today, against some of these ups and downs in the weather.
I also like to point out, you tend to, dislike the negative, and I tend to really lean into it. And I think that's maybe the difference between a journalist and a coach. Mm. Your job is to be on the more positive, and mine is to find the top five reasons you suck.
Right, you're gonna have the lead or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No or not in a headline tends to do better than you're doing great. Here's five reasons why. Sorry, that's just our natural philosophical bent given our professions, we'll say.
Sure.
So I think you're right. Number one thing is that it happens to everyone, and number two thing, and I'm so hesitant to drop this one. I don't even think you have it in the outline, but gonna do it.
It's a good thing to do. Add more stuff to the outline.
Well, look, I did not get full outline approval before we started recording.
Okay. Well, go for it then.
And again, cringing as I say it, know your why. And I'm not gonna lie, like I tend to really dislike the knowing your why when it comes to training and racing and any of that stuff, because I find it to be a little overdone in terms of, you know, what coaches talk about, what wellness experts talk about. But in the case of this like spring blahs context, I do think knowing your why is really important. That's why why can be as simple as because I have a race on this date and it's X days away. That's how simple mine is.
Right.
I have a countdown widget on
The dilemma that people run into, though, is that they've put the thing on the calendar and then they're finding that they need to quit it because they're sucking because it's snowy out or they've gotten sick in the spring. So now they're questioning. One of the questions today is, you know, I'm not feeling motivated for my race. Maybe I think I'm going to quit the sport. You know, certainly I think I'm the fastest person in Canada right now. And then the next day I'm like, I think I suck and I need to quit. So it's again, normal to ebb and flow, but this is sometimes the race on the calendar is actually what the issue is, especially for those folks signed up for these spring classics. This is the week of Paris to Ancaster, the post Rasputista What else? Barry Roubaix was last week. There's, you know, Sea Otter was last week. So there's all these big spring events.
Sure. But those are like very soon. I'm talking like for me, the global why is like the race I have way down the road. It's not the race I have next week. So for you, you may need a kind of larger scale why in that case.
And, honestly, and this is, I think, where we have the, I love our 5x2 or the Danjon 5x2, where it's the two decades is actually the why. And this is also your value. So if you're like, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing in two decades, it's sort of trying to attach some values or a why or whatever speaks to you. So are you the type of person who's active, or in two decades, do you intend to be walking? You know, something like that. And it's like, oh, I do intend to be walking. So then in 2 years, while I'm the age I am, never going to be younger, I'm going to try and do some of these big, hard things that are a little scary and make me nervous and you know, will push me to train. And then your why is I need to be ready for August because this year I have this thing I'm getting ready for, or Paris to Ancaster is coming and I'm going to do the best I can, right?
I think you're right with the values too, though, the like, I'm the type of person who... Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's actually like why we started the Consummate Athlete 8 years ago, was we wanted to be the type of people who could jump into any different activity.
Different sports, yeah. And moved. And yeah. And so that's the idea. So I think that's, you know, revisiting goals is good. But I think one of the big questions, do we want to read this question? I don't know if this question really drives home that point, but we'll hold that for a second. What we want to do is make sure that we're not making these decisions in the hot moments. Where we're really low or really high.
So in this case, we're talking about really like the race is coming up, making the decision to skip it because mm-hmm. you're so in the spring block.
And this is our race if you're going to race rule. So if you've signed up, if the race is close, and you can define what close is, but I would propose that it's, you know, 2-3 months at least, where we've signed up, we've committed, we're registered, and then at some point we decided this was a good idea, probably on a middle day where we weren't super, you know, motivated because we thought we were the best people in Canada. And then we weren't really low because we got sick or, you know, didn't have a great workout. There's those middle days where hopefully we're making these critical seasonal decisions, and then we try and stick to that plan. And then we can review it at the end of the season or whenever that next junction is, but being careful with big swaps. So in the last month, I've had a couple clients where it's like, oh, I got sick, I can't race Paris to Ancaster or whatever the race is. And you know, they ebb and flow week to week. And it's really just that, you know, sick or a poor workout. And then, oh, I had a great workout, I'm back on, I'm racing. And it's trying to just keep that belief through that whole process. And just do without those questions. Try and get those decisions out of your head and just say, no, race if you're going to race. That's why we use it. You know, that's one of our rules of thumb.
Yeah, it's not just on race day that mantra comes in. It's really like the lead up to it as well.
It answers most questions.
Yeah, to be fair, we also do not mean race if you're concussed, race if you're sick, race if you're horribly injured. Those are like obvious.
Those are like day, you know, race week decisions.
Exactly, yeah. So I think race if you're going to race, keep training as if you're planning to race mm-hmm. again, unless there's like a concussion, illness, injury situation.
Sure. And even then, you know, if you got a concussion, then there's going to be a few days that we're going to have to follow that protocol, probably, you know, up to 7, I mean, it could be longer. That journey, we don't know. And that's why it's the process, not necessarily the destination. It's that belief that we're going to get there. And, you know, it might be that you have to skip that race this year, and it's going to be next year that you actually go and do Paris to Ancaster or whatever the race is, if that's the way it goes. But it's that belief that you're going to get out. Mm-hmm. That's the Stockdale paradox. It's from, I think that's like a Jim Collins thing from the Good to Great book.
Oh, okay.
And it was this like getting, I think it was out of the concentration camps. Was that where they're trying to get out of? It was like one of those things. And it was like, who didn't make it out? And it was the people that were like, we're going to get out by Christmas.
No, that was like a prisoner of war camp. Oh, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was the people who like kept believing they were going to get out, but didn't, you know, necessarily keep, they didn't keep saying like by Christmas or whatever. Right.
Right. So, yeah. So it was a weird level of like, they had a belief, but they didn't have a date hooked to
yeah,
it.
I think he calls it the optimists. Like were the ones that like really lost hope. Versus like sick. And so that, to me, I always take away that way is that like, it's the process. So like you go through the motions and you do the job you're supposed to do on the day, stay in the moment, and you do what you can control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This feels very like you're just like been reading a lot of stoic philosophy or something.
I don't know about that, but business books, I guess.
Yeah.
I do like those like framework things though. So another framework is the one that Alexi Pappas has made popular. She's a runner, and So she talks about this rule of thirds, which we've spoke about on the podcast before. And this is the idea that about a third of your workouts are going to be really crummy, a third in the middle, and then a third you probably feel really great. And you want to try and, you know, find that mix, right? And if you're finding that every workout you feel crummy, then, you know, this is probably on this course of a week or a month. If you look back in your training log and you're like, oh yeah, I felt like junk and I want to quit the whole time, then this is something we should reflect on. And then on the other side, I don't think you rarely would have a problem where you feel amazing and you're really upset about it.
I think you could. I think that would be a sign that you're like under.
Yeah, I don't know if that would persist for very long though. If you just, you know, went for a 10-minute walk and you're like, I felt perfect, no struggle. You'd probably start detraining and then you'd maybe start feeling struggle. I don't know.
I mean, I definitely did that for a couple of years where I was like, my rule is, you know, every day I ran for 45 minutes and you know what? Every day I felt great.
Really?
Very unhelpful. Yeah.
Okay. So again, maybe that would be something to reflect on then. And then there's some middle down. And those are the unremarkable days that I think a lot of those days are just in the middle. They're just normal. And you're not pushing, right? I think sometimes when people are down in the dumps all the time, they're always trying to get that Strava or always trying to get that new power peak or whatever, right? And then it's bringing it back to where, well, was there a range of, you know, power or performance? Are you doing some workouts that are low intensity or low focus, you know, not like high focus where we're really trying to get there on time? You're just out for, we call it a ramble, right? I try and use that word ramble in our, rather than endurance rides, to try and encourage a bit of a playful and explorative ride. So that's, I think, the idea. And we've talked about it before. And I'm like, I don't know if this rule is really that useful, but I do think that one of the good uses is that when we have the horrible day, you don't turn around and come home and then cancel all your race registrations off of one day or probably even a week that goes a little sideways, because it only takes a week or two to be back and feeling great again.
Right, right.
And I see this in myself all the time. And I have the same feelings of just like, ah, I guess I'm done racing. And then the next week again, I'm like a back pro. I'm going pro again. So, you know, you're not alone with these feelings, but I think that's like a good guideline is to just try and be a bit, maybe that is stoic, I guess, if we can say that, is that, you know, you don't get too attached to the highs or the lows, because we know there's going to be an ebb there.
Well, and you certainly don't make any kind of like non-refundable decisions during those.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, you want the boat to just keep moving. Just let it keep, once it's moving, just let it go, right? And try and do what you can on the day. And some days just don't go perfect, right? Lots of, if you looked at a pro's actual, not the Instagram version of the pro's lifestyle, but they would miss workouts, they would shorten workouts, they would, you know, it's not all just slamming power and doing amazing workouts and hero workouts. There's a lot of just unremarkable days. And you'd be surprised with the number of gaps where there's days and days without training even.
For sure. Yeah, no, I see that all the time with the people I interview, and it definitely is the case. Now, I also think like you can use all of this as information too, though, right? I think if you're deeply suffering from these spring blahs and you're absolutely miserable with the races that you've been doing or have been coming up, this is maybe a chance to leave yourself a note for next year to not sign up for the early season races if you know that this spring is a really hard time for you. And for some people, you're right, like accountants, tax time, self-employed people, tax time. It can be a really stressful month. And, you know, adding travel to a race or even just doing a race when the weather could be fantastic, could be absolutely abysmal. You know, maybe you just don't need that added stress. So maybe next year you don't do these early spring races.
And I think, you know, in Ontario or in the north, there's definitely, you know, April is usually crummy. Like usually we're not, well, this year's been odd and we've gotten on the trails more, but there's a lot of years we don't get on trails till that last week of April, maybe, you know, maybe depending on where you are, you would, but there's a lot of years like that. So I sort of lean that way. Not that I'll never again race in April. Certainly, you know, we might go south and race somewhere as well earlier. But I tend to not get too excited about racing until that first weekend in May, which is when most stuff starts. And that does mean that I miss out on a few things. And, you know, we just had a great race weekend here close to home and everyone went and it seemed like it went really well and it was fun. But, you know, it gave me another 2 weeks of training and consistency and not hustling too hard or traveling. So that's how I handle that. It's just, you know, again, to your point, reflecting. Now, you did jump ahead.
I did. I'm sorry.
In the thing. So,
so what's next? Spring, well, flexibility?
I think so. So let's talk a bit about, you know, why you might be feeling this and then some of the tools. So in the spring, again, you've come out of the winter and whatever your winter looks like. Again, we have clients down in the south that, you know, do a little bit of cross training, but ride more year round. And but in any case, again, we like this, we call it the consummate athlete, you know, philosophy, I guess, where we have cross training. We have a couple of different tools. So that's things ranging from your indoor trainer, your fat bike, fenders, raincoats, you know, all the booties, you have all this stuff. So don't put it away. Right. I would say May up here in Canada is probably when you can start easing some of that stuff away. But if you have a winter bike and all that set up, don't get too excited at that first sign. And then keep your mind open that you can still run if you're a runner, or ski possibly if you're a skier. Hiking, walking, all these things, all these tools that you've built over the base or the fitness accumulation phase, the off season, just keep that going a little later. And I think if you're the person who's gotten caught off guard here, just that's a note for next year is to, you know, you can even put, I have clients that'll put notes in their Training Peaks for, you know, next April or, you know, ahead of that next race, if they're doing a race. And that's, I think, really smart to send a message to your future self. So it's not just your coach nagging you about it, that you've actually sent a little note to yourself. That could be an email that comes back.
I was just going to say, if you use like Boomerang, I think actually Gmail even now has a send later. So literally set it to send to yourself like a year from now.
I'll schedule it. Yeah. Or whenever it is. Yeah. It may be going into it. The options, really, the way I think about it too, is you mentioned the running. And it's a little easier. So if you are a runner or whatever your cross training sports, running's, you know, a common one where it is easier to get out for. So I don't think I would make it through the spring because I would go crazy riding the trainer, but I'll do a couple extra runs, right? I'll just keep the running going. And, you know, I'm feeling pretty good running right now because we've had a couple of bad weeks of outdoor training. And then I can sort of sprinkle that in with the gym work and then the trainer and then the odd outdoor ride. So yeah, and then you get a good, you know, our idea is then you use cross training to get consistency, which is great, right? And that helps build confidence, which is what we're talking about, right?
You find new communities. Possibly. So we've just ticked off our four C's.
Well, and really that community is a piece of it too that maybe we should speak to as well, is that, you know, those are the people that are going to pull you out. I've had a couple of great rides already, and they're on days that I would not have gone outside.
Yeah, you've definitely had a couple of days where you were, I know, planning to ride the trainer, and then a friend texted. And
well, or it would be 90 minutes, and somehow we got, you know, 3 to 4 hours in, and, you know, it was bad at times, but then, you know, there's a little bit of drafting to share the work, and you get through the windy bits, and yeah.
And like sometimes, honestly, the crappiest ride and run days, I do think like there's something special about them when you do them with friends that like lead to the best stories, the best memories. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely remember, you know, some of the training camps we've coached with the rainy days being some of the most memorable, and granted as a coach, slightly less enjoyable, but still those are the ones that you remember.
And I do think that's part of this balance too, is you are learning things by doing that. So there is the balance of, you know, the indoor trainer for time efficiency and not damaging your equipment excessively, but you do want to push yourself to get out because there is benefit of, you know, oh, I slid a bit on that corner, or that climb was a little loose. The clothing, you know, what do I need to do to stay warm? What do I need to do to stay warm if I'm doing intervals? I had a couple of great, just epic days on our local like gravel climb, and it was muddy and I was covered in mud head to toe by the end, you know, our gravel, like dirt spray. But then, you know, the traction at the top, because it got snowy and icy. So then I was fighting for traction at the hardest part of the, you know, the interval. And just at the end of it, to your point, like you just, it's such a confidence boost. It's like a 2x. I always say when clients do stuff like that, I'm like, this is like 2x points because, you know, you got this mental boost of I'm so tough and worked on traction. And
well, and I think what's really interesting about that, I have kind of like a like pro scale and then a less pro scale. Looking at Paris to Ancaster last year is the first Canadian gravel nationals that they've had. And if you look at who won, it wasn't the most pro people who often get to spend more time training in these warmer, sunnier climates. It was actually more local people who have been training outside in the crap all winter. So I think that was a huge benefit for them. And if you look at the very long ago World Cup that you occasionally mention, the one that Jeff Kabush won, crappy, mud
Canadian
fest,
pride, Jeff Kabush Canadian beat Julian Absalon. It was a rainy day in August.
Yeah, this is a very like old example, but I know it's one that's near and dear to your heart. Jeff. Uncle Jeff. Got frequent podcast guest. At any rate, like I think he won because he trained
in
those.
He lived his whole life in BC riding muddy mountain bikes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he had his glasses somehow still on. I still don't understand. He must have been getting glasses every lap. And
Oakley sponsorship. That's what it does for you.
Yeah.
How about those... windshield wipers? Yeah. I don't know.
So there you go.
Scott Kelly just wiping his glasses every time he came through.
So I think that's it. I think there's a balance there, and you're trying to embrace, like, why is this environment giving me this opportunity? And it, you might find out that down the road, it's so that you could win Paris to Ancaster or whatever the event is for.
It's a dumb thing that I do, but anytime I go out and it's cold or rainy, I just tell myself it's bonus training.
Sure, sure. Now, the next thing we had on this agenda is, you know, are you actually nervous? So there can be a few reasons. Like, some of the things are, you know, I'm getting tired of the indoor trainer, or I started training too intensely, you know, late in the season, or the weather is really bumming me out. So we've talked a bit around, you know, keep it going. It's not just you. It'll be over soon. In a week, you'll feel better. But then there's also this, like, are you just nervous? Paris to Ancaster is coming. The first mountain bike race is coming. Whatever your thing is coming. And so are you starting to feel defensive?
Right? Love this.
Where it's like, oh, I feel blah. I don't want to train today, because this is sort of becoming like a self-handicapping, they call it, or like you're trying to like make a reason, like I'm low motivation so that I don't have to show up and say that I trained really hard for this race, you know, to try and protect myself from that ego of like, oh, I didn't do very well, but I actually did try really hard all winter, but then my results aren't as good as I expected, right? So this is a very natural thing. This is a, you know, again, self-handicapping is like a large part, or not a large part, but a concept in sports psychology, where we try and, you know, put up defenses before we get there. So we've defeated ourselves. But then if I win, oh, I was really unmotivated all April. I didn't really train, but then I won, you know, it's funny.
Call it the pre-excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. So self-handicapping is what it's called. And we've all seen those people on the line who are like, oh, I didn't train for the last 17 years.
Yeah. Haven't eaten in a week.
Just have this premium race bike. Excuse me while I take this like premium gel and just do this customized race warm up and win by 20 minutes. Haven't trained in years.
Shout out to Adam Craig at Single Speed World Championships back in 2013. 2013.
So that's, I think, just, and again, what do you do about that? Well, you could talk to a sports psychologist. That would be great. But you can also say, okay, why am I, okay, am I nervous? Okay, that's okay. Like, you know, who really cares? No one cares about races. No one cares about how you do, except for you. It's important, but it's not that important, right? This is all just sports. At the end of it, no one's, you know, gonna reflect, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. So if that's the case, then that's your training, is to work on that feeling. How do we get there, right? So I think you want to be very prepared. You don't have to tell people everything about your training, but I would try and fight that urge to like destroy your training, and then also refocus. And I think for those people, that is where they'll like get a friend to go and train with, mix up your training a little bit, try and get down south or to a different area if you can. You know, anything to just change up the routine a little bit and make it a little difference can certainly be helpful. But definitely those might be the folks that talking to a coach or to a mental performance consultant, sports psychologist might be helpful. Even just going through some of the great sports psychology books
for sure
would be good.
Well, if you want to go back in our archives, we've had quite a few on Simon Marshall and Leslie Patterson, Brave Athlete. Yeah.
Brave Athlete. And then
one of
Fitzgerald has a couple, like, How Bad Do You Want It is actually a really good, nice one. It's got some good story-based ones on it.
I mean, tons of great stuff out there. We've had so many different mental performance consultants.
Yeah.
Most recently we had Pat Spencer on talking from Getting Your Mind in Gear. She had a great one and we actually talked, I think, a lot about the whole pre-race nerves.
Okay.
It happens.
So then we'll go through here, continuing on this outline is, you know, when we think about, okay, so someone's gotten, you know, they're getting into April, the races haven't quite come here yet. And then you're starting to get feelings of blah or burnout or overtraining or low motivation or whatever the thing is. I do think that this is another place where we might put a reminder in September, October, November, December. And say, you know, just take it easy on how hard you're pushing, how much indoor trainer you're riding, how many intervals you're doing, you know, just take a bit of a reflection then. And I try and remind people, but they don't believe me a lot of times, right? They've come off of the summer and they're either really motivated or really mad. And then they either want to keep it going or just like start early to get a head start, which is okay. But you just want to be careful because it is a long ways from that fall to April. You know, especially in Canada, that can be 7-8 dark months. So ease into it, but you want to be careful. And that's why I do that. What do I call that? No indoor trainer till December. It's got a clunky name, but it's a great idea.
Yeah, or at least, you know, like not defaulting to the indoor trainer before.
Sure. Yeah, and I always talk like, you know, you can make your challenge however you want. It can be just on the weekend or whatever. I'm, you know, lucky and that I can train in the middle of the day a lot of the time. And we live, you know, outside of the city, but you know, it also makes it can be very sloppy a lot of days too, versus some people who are more in the city. The weather can be better in Toronto or in any city really, right? They sometimes have better resources and stuff for paths. So that would be one thing to reflect on is if you've gotten this far into your off season and there's not a lot of juice left for racing, you want to save it, right? We're supposed to be accumulating fitness for racing, not utilizing it. So if you've been Zwifting and fat bike racing and whatever, suffer festing, then you just want to be careful, you know, coming into next season. Now, what do you do now? I would say make sure you take an off day a week. Make sure you take an off week, you know, a deload week where you reduce the load a little bit, reduce the focus a little bit. And just sort of recircle on things. But again, I think the message is probably similar. You're probably not that deep. I would just regroup a little bit and then get back to your process and stick to your race schedule, unless there's an obvious reason, like you actually like are really like struggling to sleep and like get out of bed with like motivation. And then probably for these people as well, you know, if it is looking like a bit of like overtraining, low energy, then definitely we want to make sure the energy piece is a big deal. So no, you know, if the word losing weight or is that, oh, that's like a couple words, but you know, weight loss, power to weight, if these are things that like occupy a lot of your headspace, again, talking to a sports nutritionist, that's the wrong word, RD, registered dietitian, someone like that, where they can work on your fueling, because again, this is the thing for you. This is training for you. You're a hard worker, but there's something around the food and the fueling that's going to be the ticket for you. So if we can get you fueling a lot, especially before the training, early in the day, that's going to be a huge boost. So bit of a couple rest days, deload days, maybe check in with someone and or start eating a bunch more food and see how you feel for a week or two. And that's the greasy car salesman. If you don't believe me, try it for a week or two. And then, you know, if you feel better, then that's maybe the way to move the boat.
For sure. And I think, you know, the full life check-in, right? I mean, we've alluded to tax season, stuff like, you know, sleep. I know right now there's a lot of parents struggling because we're like halfway through the semester. There's still a lot of school time left. Kids are starting their spring activities. Things are just busy. A lot of spring sports are starting up for kids. So suddenly your time is even tighter. You know, there's a lot going on at all times.
And so then the next piece we have is, you know, this idea of what is progress, what is training? And we talked about the process of enjoying the journey, which is again sort of a dumb thing. It's sort of like the why and values, right? Everyone rolls their eyes and doesn't really do it. But it is, you know, what do you find fun? And the realization that like no one day is going to make you win the Olympics or whatever your winning is. But it is the accumulation of years. And this is often we have this talk with kids where it's like, it's probably like a 16-year journey to the Olympics, right? Like if you're world class, you know, you're just like a phenom, like maybe you can do it faster. But from like when you start riding, you know, that's from 20 years old to 36, right? It's probably not that late, right? It's probably like 16 to 32. That's like your standard, right? Like that's the idea. So that's it really does. That's endurance sport. And I think that applies to us as masters, right? There's still that window of all these adaptations that happen, even though there's this whole horror story, which we're working on a book about, of aging and your VO2 max and your muscle mass. It's all done after your, you know, what's the age? They say like 20. It's
Yeah, it's
all
gonna say like
downhill.
20.
Yeah, if you didn't do it by 16, you're done. That's not entirely true. What gets missed with that a lot of times is that if you didn't do anything like Molly, you know,
It's true.
like are you still getting better at running? For sure, right? Like when we started, you know, dating, like I wouldn't even probably have run with you, and then we got to where
Well, that's a little
we would
rude.
run. I mean, I probably would because you know, but then we got to running. Like you know, I could still because I don't run that much. It's sort of like I maintain it. Then we would run and it would be good. But now it's getting to the point where like you're almost too fast a lot of times, like especially if we run for any distance, like I'm like nursing through, right? And so I have to actually like train a lot. So like you're definitely still getting, you know, and you're only like, well, how old are you? 25.
Yeah, 29.
You know, we'll say in your 30s, and you're still getting better. And I think that's true of a lot of people. A lot of my clients are starting, you know, seriously training, you know, training in their 40s and 50s, right? So of course you can get better. There's all sorts of ways you get better at things. So I think just thinking about it as, you know, today is a learning. You know, today I don't feel as motivated, so I'm going to do strength instead, or I'm going to do a 30-minute spin because Peter says that matters too. Or you know, I'll just do endurance today instead of the intervals, or I'll do half the intervals, or I'll play around with the intervals. This seems more approachable for me to do them as 30-30 intervals instead of steady, because I can't bear to do steady. Just play with it, because today doesn't really matter. You always want to think about the plan and the long term, but one day is not it. So whatever you can do to get through today, and then tomorrow will be a different day. And I bet you'll feel better having done something today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the process, they talk about bricks in the fireplace. Sometimes it's the analogy with that, you know, just one brick or brick by brick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't know. It's sort of a strange metaphor, I guess. Okay. So now you jumped ahead and said evaluating race choices, you know, and I think we don't want to today, we don't want to change like this next couple weeks or months. But if you're planning later in the season, maybe you're like reflecting on cyclocross season or even towards 2 years goals, which we love. A lot of clients have really embraced this. I have a bunch of clients who are like 2025 Leadville goals.
Now, I do find this tricky because then next year they're going to be next year goals.
Right.
So the tricky thing with 2 year goals is like at some point you've ticked down to them.
Sure. So I tend to, the way I handle that for biking is that, you know, it's within the 2 years. And we're also trying to avoid the, what, you know, the Ironman burnout, it sometimes gets called, right? Where it's, well, you Leadville became this year's goal and then it became the 2 months goal and the 2 weeks goal and then it's done. And then you stop exercising altogether. So the reason for the 2 years goals is that we should reset something that Leadville is actually another stepping stone towards. So what is after Leadville?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It might be, oh, you know, I really liked the look of that Breck Epic thing. It seemed like funner mountain biking. Still hard, but you know, I liked that area, but maybe Leadville wasn't for me. You know, it's too, you know, not technical enough. I really want to like get working on my skills or something. So maybe it's Breck or, oh, those gravel racers seem like they're having a lot of fun. So I'm going to do something more gravelly in the 2 years after this. So sometimes I think there's, we've actually hinted at something here that might actually help someone get through the blahs is actually start thinking like, what are the things you're like FOMO about? And can you either, you know, later in the season, try something like that and then maybe reflect on, because some of these registrations are so far in advance.
For sure.
So then think, okay, I'm going to go and do Paris to Ancaster, that registration. I don't know if it opens right after the race or not, but if that was the one or what else, so, you know, Big Sugar is in October. And I know a few clients are eyeing that as well. So, you know, there you go. So you could edge into it that way. But I think evaluating the race choices is a big thing when we're coming into this spring a little bummed.
I do have a caveat to that, though.
Sure.
The caveat is, I think a lot of times when we're stressed and nervous about a race that's coming up in 2 weeks, we really start doing this future thinking, future cat
right.
thing.
You don't like that. You prefer to Ironman burnout.
Yeah,
or to risk it.
I genuinely prefer the Ironman burnout.
You prefer to risk it.
Because I've had a couple races like this where I've been really stressed about them in the 2 weeks prior. So I start thinking about like all the stuff I want to do after the race, all of my other big race goals for down the line, almost because I'm doing this like self-protective thing where I'm kind of like cocooning myself against, if this race goes poorly, it's okay because I had all these other big goals that I'm now chasing. So
it probably is okay, but I think what I'm hearing is that you probably want to be careful. What I see, what I'm thinking,
basically, and to already like be past the excitement of the race that's actually coming up, because now you're.
But do you think that if you were doing Leadville this year and you were doing Breck Epic, which is almost the same week, do you think that that would be like, I'm going to drop out of Leadville because I'm doing Breck Epic in a year?
No, but I think your brain can do a little bit of like this weird hopscotching to where you're in Leadville and it's not going very well. And you're like, yeah, but I didn't really want this anyway. Breck was my main
focus. It's
really
cool. This race sucks. Oh, okay. So we're not saying it sucks, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Leadville.
This is an example.
So just like, I like that as a strategy, but I think it's worth just being a little bit cautious about how you,
and maybe you've experienced one or the other, right? Where you've lost focus on it or, you know, started speaking down or like, this is the last time I'm ever doing this stupid race or something like that. And I've seen that with Leadville, right? Where a client might drop out. It's, you know, they've been trying to get at the 9 hour belt buckle, which is super bold, you know, and then they realize it's not happening. And then they drop out, even though they've done all the work, they're there on the day.
It's like another
2 or 3 hours of work. And then it's, you know, for some reason that goal is gone and they weren't really that into it. They were sort of just, you know, pulled along. And I've seen, and for each person, sometimes those people don't have regret about it either, right? They're like, we went on a trip. I really enjoyed all the training. You know, it was a great trip. I just wasn't feeling it. And you know, it's tough as a coach because you're like, oh, but it was like 2 more hours, but everyone finds their way. And so I think you're onto something with that, that you probably want to know, you know, how those future goals and the, you know, how they align or how they motivate you.
Yeah. Just be careful with them. If you're someone who's kind of trying to do the pre-excuses and rationalizing on race day and you have some of the nerves, I just think sometimes it can actually like be detrimental to the current race that we're dealing with. Sure. And then you're like, yeah. Or, okay, Paris Lancaster's maybe a great one. If you're listening to this right now, it's in a couple days. If you've heard this and you're suddenly like, you know what? I do want to go hard in cyclocross season this year. You know what? I'm going to make sure that I book my, I can't register for Rochester yet, but I'm going to book my hotels. Okay, yeah, Rochester is the race. And then on the start line of Paris Lancaster, or even like the night before, you're like,
you're spending time on that.
You're spending time thinking about that instead of thinking about like, okay, how is this race going to play out? Maybe I should do some visualizations here. Maybe I should be like, you know, checking my clothing, or even just on the start line, you're like, screw this race. I'm all in for Rochester, September 2024. Like, no, well, man.
Or back to self-handicapping.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And that's, I think, why I like the 2 weeks and 2 months, because those, what you're getting done in those 2 months should connect to the 2 years, but like you don't do, you know, hotel bookings. The two.
Rochester 2025 is gonna. That's gonna be my year.
I bought a hotel in Rochester.
Yeah. I own a new bed. Yeah, I know. I own a little B&B. Yeah, come stay with us.
So this, I had values under here as well. And when we're deciding on these races, you know, this is the one of the questions we had that sort of motivated this podcast was, you know, someone saying, "Oh, I'm going to these races, but you know, I don't have a lot of friends at them. And I'm not sure if I want to continue going to them because there's these other races where my friends go." And so the value in that case might be, you know, community or friendship or something like that, which then might guide future races. I still think you stick with the ones you've signed up for.
For sure.
But you can start, you know, if you can edge this season a bit that way, or, you know, make more friends at the race, you know, make a, you know, try and make connections that way too. You could edge in that way, or you could try and get one of your friends to come with you, you know, offer a ride, you know, just for the sake of this season even. But that would be one. And then, what else did I have here? Where's these other, I've lost it. Oh, we're here. Competition. So then, yeah, sometimes I'll see people will end up cyclocross, which isn't very adventurous, good on community, great on skills, intense, get you through the fall, but not really very adventurous. And I always struggled with it because I really like mountain biking. And in the fall, you know, a lot of the races are gone. So a lot of the focus is gone. So you can just do, I always felt like those were some of the best months of riding up here. And you know, you could go on adventures and just,
right,
you know, ride with friends you didn't ride with during the year because they were away, or, you know, you were doing the serious training or you were away or whatever. So I think that's where the value piece can come in, and you can start refining your season planning just to be like, what am I optimizing for here, right? Fun might be the one, was the other one I had on there. And, you know, enduro is starting to get bigger in Ontario, which is sort of crazy because we have not a lot of big mountains, but they're making it work. And it's just a great full day of riding and barbecue and a bit of fast, you know, technical riding.
Which is so deeply not aligned with your values, but might be great for someone else.
So I like a lot of it. I just don't like the time it takes to do what it is.
So the entire point of the enduro.
It could be. So I support it. I love that a bunch of clients are doing it. I'm going to try and get out to one or two. We'll see. But
okay,
we'll see. I might just have to go like volunteer or something. Anyhow, so that's that. So it's let's get into this conclusion here then. So we've spoke about this idea of we're coming in the spring. We got to stay flexible. We got to know that it's going to be all over the place with weather. That is the nature of spring. You know, and before races, we might get nervous, and that's okay too. And you try and know yourself and work with the people or the things you need to do, the exercises you need to do to stay on, give yourself the best chance to do the best that you can do, which might not be winning. You know, for a lot of us, that's not going to be winning the race, but your winning is worthwhile and worth chasing your best at that event.
Well, it's funny. That's literally like a couple weekends ago. That's pretty much what I did. I had an event here and it was technically a race. It was a great start line experience. It was like I had an exact like training plan in mind for it, did it. And you know what? It made a crappy day. It was like cold and like kind of blustery, a little bit of rain. It made the crappy day just actually more fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you get through it. And like, no, I didn't want to go that morning. No, it was rainy and crappy.
Sure. But... that week was sort of crummy. And then the morning of, you know, and that's just, you keep saying race if you're going to race. Like there is no, like when your brain starts thinking like, well, maybe I'll just phone and say I'm not. And it's like, no, stop doing that. Like, why are you not filling your pack with like the appropriate amount of fuel and like getting the two raincoats that you might use and like what shoes? Like there's other things to put your brain on that are not like that will she, won't she? We want to really, and that could happen in the 2 weeks, the month before, that could happen the day of, but that's just fight it, because usually it is not nearly as bad as you think it is.
100%.
And you know, if you don't make it to the finish line, then that's okay too, right? Like mm-hmm. There's lots of, you know, sometimes you don't make the cut or whatever happens.
Your literal worst case is that you have one race start under your belt.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you go and you get whatever they have at the finish line and away you go. Right, you see people, especially these spring races are so good to just see people after not seeing people for so long.
And honestly, I'm always amazed at how quickly the nerves dissipate once the race starts. And I need that reminder of it because I'm someone who has terrible race day nerves.
Sure.
So the more race starts, the better.
And you don't like the start line. And so it's either just grin and bear it. Some people, that's where they're like big over the top headphones or, you know, trying to get to the start if you can a little later, or there's lots of ways. And then sometimes it's just telling yourself like anything else in life, you know, I just went to the dentist, really don't like it.
No.
Right. So you gotta go. So, we talked about the rule of thirds. So this idea that we could use that rule of thirds, the bad days, the you know, moderate normal days, and then the really good days. And we say those two endpoints, the really good days and the bad days, probably aren't the days to go home and then start changing your race schedule. Give yourself a few days to have a better day and to have a couple normal days. Let things center out. Usually by next week, you're going to feel completely different about this thing, right? So
for sure.
Journal about it. Put it, you know, next week I'll reflect on if I should race this race, and just give yourself like a week to see if you feel the same, I think is really good advice for races at least, right? Stay on the path. Don't no like sudden decisions and veering one way and the other, because probably you're going to regress, you know, come back to the mean or come back the other way a little bit at least. So rather than doing anything, just stick to the plan and see if, you know, if that adjustment can be a little more moderate.
Yeah. And I think the struggle to get out the door in the spring just comes back to both our tenants and our four C's. So we have the consistency. So every time you get out the door, you're just checking another box on that consistency piece. And what's your tenant? 90% of life is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Show up in the crappy weather. And I honestly guarantee, like, after the first minute, you're going to be fine.
And it's all good. You know, I've had a few clients who have been out for like 45 minutes and it's been like a little slidey, you know, and then the bike's, you know, messed up and they've, you know, the thing is like, oh, that's a lot of work for a 45 minute ride. And it's like, well, no, but like that is technical training. That is, you know, you cornered a bunch of times during mm-hmm. it, you know, and yes, there's even the cleanup is part of that, you know, the skills as well. So, and then there's time and nature, right? There's all these things. So I do think that that's worthwhile. And consistency is important. From there, then we're going to go through to and look at, you know, that idea of like how hard you've been charging. So a lot of times we'll see that some of these athletes that burn out have been charging really hard with, you know, the Zwifting, the sweet spotting, all these things, you know, maybe for their many, many months. So checking, is there an off day? If you can't take an off day, we suggest maybe going and seeing a sports psychologist. If that's something that like really you can't do, it's not a criticism. It's just that's your training. And I've said that a few times in this podcast, like that's your training. So if you're having trouble fueling enough, you have low energy, that's your training. You're great at doing intervals. You're great at working hard, but that's the thing that's going to make you faster. So again, like going to the dentist, some of these things aren't pleasant, but you know, that might be the key for you to get that extra couple percents.
For sure.
Yep. So spring flexibility, low intensity, making sure that we're getting enough low intensity, fueling that intensity. And then, yeah, just being ready for summer to come. It will come soon.
It will come. Awesome. All right. Well, as usual, if you have any questions, head over to consummateathlete.com. You can contact us there or at consummateathlete on Instagram. Don't forget, over on consummateathlete.com, we are blogging a couple times a week. Great articles on there.
I do say so myself.
We have a newsletter you can sign up for totally free, just so you don't miss any of the articles or episodes. We just put out a quick thing every week with what we've been up to.
Yeah, we'll have, so we have a Leadville article that's gone up recently, at least one, to augment the most recent podcast we did too, right?
Yeah, yep. Or a podcast yep. a couple weeks ago. Yep. I just put up the how to do sourdough pizza on the grill because
variety.
Apparently everyone, I posted a picture of the sourdough pizza I did and people were really into it. So I put the recipe up there. So yeah, lots of different
sure.
things.
Sure.
Yeah, so definitely head over there. And of course, ratings, reviews, greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you next week and happy spring training.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Consummate Athlete Podcast. If you want to hear more training, racing, and endurance sport advice, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. You can also subscribe to our newsletter at consummateathlete.com for a weekly dose of inspiration and advice straight to your inbox.